Father, we thank you and we praise you for one another right across the whole of the church. At the beginning of our time, we pray for Craig with the skip and the litter pick and the community work that's going on. And we pray for Connect as many meet together today. We thank you that the weather is good and that activities outside are possible. And we pray for the children's work as it takes place at the Hub with Hannah and Ed and Sophie. And Lord, we pray for our time now, giving you thanks and praise. Work by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ed and Sophie are going to lead us. Nathan's going to set that up for us. Just a reminder that the convention is that we mute ourselves during worship, but the encouragement in our homes to really lift our hearts and our voices to God. I'm going to be muting myself in just a second, which will be a relief to everyone. Yeah. Any moment now, we'll have Ed and Sophie coming on.
I don't watch it on this.
We can't watch it because it's on
the screen. Just a reminder to mute yourselves. Looks like we might be having a few struggles with this. So let's just have a look. We'll try that again. That sounds good.
To you. To the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the pearl of the fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, our struggle we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go? I've seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun will give source to its light? Yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. Nothing can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, our struggle we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, our struggle we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God.
Wonderful. It's lovely to worship God together, a little bit of holy chaos, but that is fine because we're all together. It's wonderful to be able to engage face to face, and it's really good to sing his praises together. And it's good to give thanks to God, and I want to encourage us to do that now, and just to pray short prayers of thanks and praise and worship to our God. We have 43 screens, and I would guesstimate probably about 70 participants, and so this could be interesting. Don't worry if there's one or two or three people speaking at the same time. You might want to record prayers of thanks in the chat window, as I said, but let's give thanks to God now. And after a few minutes time, I will wrap up with a spoken prayer of my own. Let's give thanks to God. Lord Jesus, thank you for your church, which is Cornerstone. Thank you for every sight. Thank you for every gathering. Thank you for every person.
Lord, we thank you for sunshine and rain.
Lord, we thank you that you are an amazing God, that however we try to describe you or try to imagine you, we will never capture everything of who you are, of how wonderful and how amazing you are.
Thank you for your faithfulness down all the generations, and thank you for your worldwide church today singing them. Amen.
Yes, Lord, thank you for your great faithfulness. Thank you that wherever we are, whatever our time in life, however many years we've been on our Christian journeys, whether in the words of the hymn, it's summer or winter or springtime or harvest, thank you that you are the faithful God, as we're going to hear, the one who was and who is and who is to come, the one who loves us, the one who cares about our lives, and who is working in the world. We thank you and we praise you for your godly character and your wonderful ways. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you've joined us in the last few moments, a very warm welcome to you. And as I've said, for those who are have been here from the beginning, a special welcome to Levi and to Sam and to Katie. And I'm going to hand over to Levi now, who's going to bring our all-age talk.
Hey everybody, can you all hear me? Get general kind of waves. Great. So yeah, so for those of you who may be new and don't know me yet, my name's Levi. I'm here in Tokyo, and because of Zoom, I now get to take part in the services sometimes. And so when I saw the list for, you know, the rota for things for the next few months, and I saw my name down to the kids talk, I was really excited because I haven't done a children's talk for a little while. It's always fun to do the children's talk. You know, you normally get one of the fun stories, like David and Goliath, or Daniel and the Lion's Den, or one of the stories of Jesus, you know, really fun story to explain. And then I looked to see what's the passage we're talking about today, and it's Revelation chapter 4. And maybe if you haven't read Revelation, it's a very strange book. And let me say, I think chapter 4 from Revelation is maybe the strangest part of the entire Bible. It's a crazy, crazy place, passage. And so I now have the joy of trying to explain it for you to understand in about 5 minutes. But let me tell you, so the part we're looking at today in Revelation chapter 4, we get a picture of what heaven looks like. And it's a kind of a really crazy mix of all these things. So we get told that there was a throne, and then around the throne, there was a rainbow, but a rainbow that looks like emerald. So emerald is a green, like a green gem. So I think maybe something like this. See, this is my imagination of what an emerald rainbow might look like. So that's a little bit strange. And then we get told that around the throne, also 24 other thrones. And on the thrones are sat people, and they're dressed in white and have gold crowns. So that's kind of a bit strange. And we think 24 sounds like maybe it's an important number. But then we find out that coming out of the throne, there is lightning and thunder kind of flying out of this throne. So that's a bit strange. We have that as well. And then we keep going, and we're told in front of this throne, there are lamps, seven lamps, and they're on fire. So now we have this picture, and we've got the green rainbow. We've got people on thrones with beards and crowns. We've got lightning. We've got fire. And then we get told in front of the throne, there's a sea. So it's like water, but it's water that looks like glass. It looks like crystal. So we've got this kind of glass crystal lake as well. It's getting really strange now. And then it gets really, really strange. So we get told that there are four like animals, four living creatures that are kind of around the throne. And the first one, let me show you, I've forgotten, looks like a lion. But it's not a normal lion. It's got six wings and it's covered in eyes everywhere. It's a really strange animal. So that's kind of very strange. And then we get told there's another one of the creatures. Have you gone? Looks like an ox. But also the ox also, so it's like a cow, but it's also got wings and eyes everywhere. So another really strange animal. And then they've got one which looks, says it has the face of a man. So I don't know if you can see who I've modeled this person on. But here's a man, also with eyes everywhere and wings. So it's getting really, really strange. And finally, also flying around the throne, there's an eagle. And the eagle also has wings and eyes everywhere. And by the way, if you're thinking that some of these pictures look much better than others, it's because I drew some, and my friend, who is an artist, drew some of us. But anyway, we have this picture, right? What is heaven like? What is going on? And it's just crazy, really strange, really confusing. And if we look at all the details really close, it's a very strange picture and really hard to understand. But if we take a step back, what we see is that at the center, everything is around the throne. Everything is in front of the throne or around the throne. And on the throne is King Jesus. And you know, in life, sometimes it feels very strange. And maybe recently, the last few months, the last year or so, it's felt very strange. And lots of things are happening that we don't understand. And we try to think and work out what's going on. Why are these things happening? And it's very strange. But what we hear today in the Bible is that at the center of everything, at the center of everything that has happened, everything that is happening now, and everything that will happen, is God's throne and his King Jesus, who has sat on the throne. So I hope today we can be encouraged that Jesus reigns and he is still king over everything that is happening. Okay, Peter, I'm going to pass back to you.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. And these are themes that obviously we're going to pick up later on in our service. We're going to sing once more the song King of Me. So let's mute ourselves and get ready to praise our God together.
Giants, my God's the king of the lions, my God's the king of the creatures of the deep, my God's the king of me. Have you heard the story about my friend King Dave? Wouldn't let the giant stand in his way. He said, hand me my sling, cause he's not that tall. My God is bigger and I'll watch him fall. My God's the king of the giants, my God's the king of the lions, my God's the king of the creatures of the deep, my God's the king of me. Have you heard the one about the guy called Dan? Yes, he was a mighty holy praying man. They said thrown to the den of the scary beasts, but God saved the hero from the lion's teeth. My God's the king of the giants, my God's the king of the lions, my God's the king of the creatures of the deep, my God's the king of me. This is more than history. He will do the same for me. Like Jonah in the whale at sea, when I'm lost and afraid, alone in the dark, you're with me. Oh, you're with me. My God's the king of the giants, my God's the king of the lions, my God's the king of the creatures of the deep, my God's the king of me. My God's the king of the giants, my God's the king of the lions, my God's the king of the creatures of the deep, my God's the king of me.
Wonderful. Good to see Levi doing the actions, at least in the screen that I was viewing. There we go, gallery view. Great to see everyone once again, and great to welcome Sam and Katie Knight. So we've heard from Levi, who's in Japan. We're going to hear from Sam and Katie, who are in Chad, and I think it's Katie who's going to lead us in our prayers, and then straight after that Sam will bring our Bible reading.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, not because we are perfect or worthy in any way, but because you are. We come not as those who, to whom something is owed, but because all was given to us. We come not because we are freed of all sorrows and burdens, but because you never change, and no matter our circumstances, you are worthy. You are worthy of praise and honor. Father, we pray that you would receive our lives today as a pleasing aroma to you. Help us lead lives that truly honor you, lives of worship to you. We are aware that we can do nothing by our own strength, but in you we can do all. May our lives be sacrifices of praise to you, even when the cost is dear. And as we come before you today, the Holy One, the one who has redeemed us, we want to just take a moment to remember those who've hurt us, whether intentionally or not. Father, as you place people on our minds who have hurt us, we pray that you would bless them. We pray that you would give them joy, that you'd give them peace today, even when we think they don't deserve it, just as we don't deserve the price that you paid for us. Father, make your face to shine upon them and prosper them. Father, help us to forgive them just as you have forgiven us. even paying the price of that forgiveness. Father, also we have sinned against other people. And I pray that you give us the strength and courage to seek out the forgiveness with a sincere heart. Father, just as you provide for our spiritual needs, you also provide for our physical needs. We want to thank you for the abundant provision you have given us. It is a privilege to be able to eat and drink, even though there are others in the world that go hungry and thirsty. We have shelter, and we know that some do not. We want to thank you for your blessings, and at the same time, those who don't have, those who are struggling financially, those who have lost jobs, whose income has been impacted by the pandemic. Father, we pray for the provisions of the needs of each of us here and those around us. Father, for those of us who have plenty, Father, we pray for wisdom in the way that we use these gifts that you've given us. And gracious God, thank you that many of us are healthy and that we can praise you with these bodies that you've given us. But we remember those who are also among us who are struggling with various ailments and worldwide with this pandemic that's still in many countries very severe still. We pray for your hand of healing upon them. For those that have lost loved ones, we pray for your comfort. And Father, as we think about those struggling worldwide, we also pray for those who do not have the opportunity as we do to meet together to worship you. Thank you for the privilege it is to come together as a people. I think this is something we have truly learned in this pandemic, is the privilege that we have to be a community worshiping you together. And we want to thank you and praise you for that. And at the same time, remember those who can't, those who are persecuted for their faith, who for whom the word sacrifice is very literal in their daily lives when they commit to following you. Pray that you would sustain, that you would give them peace in amongst the trouble. And Father, we want to pray for those around us who don't yet know you, and we just pray that you would make yourself known to them so they have the opportunity to have the peace and peace in you. Father, as Peter said earlier, we have so many things to thank you for. Your blessings are abundant in this time of spring. We can see your creation around us bursting into life. And that is a blessing that is renewed year after year, no matter what happens, no matter what's thrown our way, Father, we can depend on and your joys. We pray that we would, each one of us here, know that. And Father, as the message that Peter has for us this morning, that you would speak to each of our hearts, that you would grow us in our knowledge of you, our understanding of you. And Father, that we would then also be able to share with others around us, that we would be the light that shines around us. Father, give us the right words of comfort for those who need comfort. Give us the words to share with the joy with those who are redeemed. Father, help us mourn with those who are mourning, that in all things may we be ambassadors for you. May we bring you glory throughout our whole lives, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
I'd like to read Revelation chapter 4. So if you have it on your computers or your phones or a physical book, you can read it with me. I am going to read from the NIV, and it is titled in the NIV as The Throne in Heaven. And Levi, I've already read it a little, but I will read it as it is here. So starting verse 1. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven, with someone sitting on it, and the throne who sat, and the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, and a rainbow shone like an emerald, encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center of the throne were four living creatures. They were covered in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, he who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
Sam and Katie, thank you so much. What do you see? What do you see when you look around the world? I think what we see is quite a bit of good as people seek to live their lives as best they can. But we also see a lot of pain and confusion and distress. We also see injustice. We see wars and rumours of wars. What do you see when you look around the world? What do you see when you look at our nation? Again, we see good, but we also see that confusion and pain and injustice. We see systems that are organized without reference to God and sometimes explicitly against God. We see consumerism. We see materialism. We see alternative worship going on as people click online and as people go to shopping malls. What do you see when you look around? What did John's first hearers and readers see when they looked around them in their first century world? Well, in many ways, they saw very similar things to what we see. They saw the might of imperial power. They saw a system that was organized as an alternative to God and against God. They saw the symbols of imperial power. For example, the imperial eagle everywhere that they looked, on buildings, on banners, on the uniforms of troops, and so on. They saw pain and injustice and oppression. They saw wars and rumors of wars. And what did John see when he was caught up by God into heaven and given this extraordinary vision? Well, he saw the world, he saw the cosmos from a different perspective, from a heavenly perspective. It's not an alternative reality, but it's a different perspective on the one reality. We see from our earthbound perspective, and John was privileged to see from a heavenly perspective. And through God's word and by his spirit, we can see that alternative perspective today as we dip in to Revelation 4. And it's a perspective that fires our hearts, that informs our minds, and which nerves us for daily living in the realities that we face today. I'm going to make one central point from this reading and then two questions that flow out from it. the central point is this, that God is at the center. Wonderfully, we've heard that already from Levi. God is at the center. Father God, Jesus Christ, the seven spirits of God, they are at the very center of this vision. God is on the throne. And as Levi said, all the action takes place around the throne or in front of the throne. It's like a series of concentric circles going on and out around the throne. First of all, we see the 24 elders who are dressed in white with crowns around their heads. What's the significance of the number 24? Probably it is the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel together with the 12 apostles. And this 24 represent the totality of the people of God. And then, and obviously this includes us, we're around the throne and we are praising our wonderful, gracious God, the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. And then there are the four living creatures. You may have heard an interpretation that these are representing the four Gospels, and that is just a possibility, but more likely, this is the created order. The things that we see around us, the animals, the birds, they are there and they also are praising God, the one who was and who is and who is to come. And so all of the created order and all of the people of God join together in saying, worthy are you to receive honor and glory and power and praise. Holy, holy, holy is the one who was and who is to come. And this is reality viewed from a different perspective. As we look around our world, we think, well, is God really in the center? But when we see from a heavenly perspective, we realize that truly he is. When we look around our world, we wonder, is God really in control? But when we see from a heavenly perspective, yes, he is. He's the one who was and who is to come. God is in control. And so we get this central, wonderful vision that, as I say, fires our hearts, informs our minds, and nerves us for daily living as disciples of Jesus Christ. Two questions for us to consider today. First of all, if Jesus is at the center of this vision, is he at the center of our lives? If he's at the center of the cosmos, if God, if Father God is on the throne, is God at the center of our lives, the way that we live as we follow Jesus Christ? Sometimes we sort of think of Jesus as a bolt-on, add-on extra to our lives. We want to be in control. We want to call the shots. And Jesus is there, but he is a God who, well, we'd like him to be at our beck and call. When things go wrong, we want him to be there for us. When we have issues in our family or in our workplace or in our community, we might come to him and cry out to him in desperation. And those things are good. And we see that in the scriptures. God takes us just as we are. And wonderfully, he responds to our prayers, to our calls, to our cries for mercy. That is his grace. That is the wonder of his love. But also, he wants us to go deeper. And he wants us to go into a different way of living that has Jesus at the very center. One of my friends is just announcing to her church today that after many years of ministry, she's been called to serve another union, another Association, and she's going to be having a translocal role as the lead for Deeper Church. And it's a wonderful title. And I want to encourage us in terms of Deeper Church and having Jesus at the center. We might think of our lives as a car, and we might think about who is on the steering, who is driving the car, whose hands are on the steering wheel. Is Jesus the passenger, along for the ride, along for help and guidance, or is he actually driving our lives? These are big things, and in order to reflect on this overarching question, do we have God at the centre? We might ask ourselves a supplementary question and ask, as we journey through life, are we uncomfortable with what's around us? Because if life, if society is organized without reference to God, and if we are living with God at the center, if we are living in the light of the vision of Revelation 4, then we will be uncomfortable because we will have different priorities. We will have a different social ethic, one that is based around the scriptures, one that is based around the love of God. We won't be living for ourselves, or as people sometimes do, ourselves and close family. We will be living for others. We will be different in the workplace. We will be different in the home. We will be different in the way that we use our finances. Are we uncomfortable as we journey through this world? Someone once asked, if someone were to accuse you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be enough evidence in the workplace, in the home, in your inner life, in your family, and in your community? As God challenges us about these things, may he be at the very center of our lives. May our lives be oriented towards him. And may he challenge us to make small and medium-sized and large concrete steps to make this increasingly real in the way that we live. So that's the first question here. Is God at the very center of our lives? And the second question, which also flows from this vision, is John's heavenly perspective also our perspective? Ask again the question, what do you see? And we need to see the pain and the injustice and the oppression. We need to live our lives in the midst of chaos and confusion and pain. We need to get our hands dirty in service. That was the call to all the churches that John was originally writing to, the churches that we see addressed directly in Revelation 2 and 3. God wasn't going to take them out of their sticky situation. God wanted them to engage wholeheartedly in the places where he had put them, in Sardis, in Philadelphia, in Laodicea, and so on. And he wants us to engage wholeheartedly in the work in Leeds, in Japan, in Chad, wherever God has placed us. And so we need to see those things, but we also need to see things from the heavenly perspective, and so be encouraged and uplifted. We see here that God is in control, and that ultimately he's not only the one who was, but he's also the one who is right now and who is to come. We see the rainbow, the green emerald rainbow that Levi has highlighted for us, probably harking back to the rainbow of the Old Testament, the covenant God made with Noah. God is a covenant-keeping God. He has made promises to us as his people, and he will keep them. We have the sea that is clear as crystal. In the scriptures, the sea is very often a symbol of chaos. We see Jesus in the New Testament calming the storms, stilling the wind and the waves. We see the psalmist saying, "All your waves and breakers have broken over me." The sea can be chaotic, the sea can be threatening, but Jesus calms the storm. And here, with this wonderfully heavenly perspective, we see that the sea is calm and still and clear. God is at work. We have here the elders casting their crowns before God, and we see them putting Jesus at the center. But we also see them doing that in this context that God is sovereign and God is working things out. Sometimes we think, well, where are our lives going? Sometimes we see the challenges in church life and we get disheartened. Sometimes you see the challenges in your own life, in your own ministries, and you become downhearted. But here we see that ultimately God is going to work everything out. It's thinking of the old chorus, "Jesus is King, Jesus is King, and I will extol him, give him the glory and honor his name." And there's a line in that chorus, "We have a hope that is steadfast and certain." That is the truth of Revelation 4. That is the truth of what we see here and the reality of our world. Pain and confusion and chaos, systems that are organized against God, wars and rumors of wars. Yes, we see all of this, but here in this passage, we see reality from another perspective, and we see that God is going to work things out for his good, for his glory, and for his people. What's our hope for the next few years? I believe, as you know, that God has really exciting things in store for Cornerstone Baptist Church. We have a purpose, we have values, we will be working over the next few months on what I think is a really exciting vision to take us forward over the next 5 years, with aims and objectives, thinking about life and growth across our sites, thinking about children's ministry, about TLG, about ministry amongst the vulnerable, thinking about going deeper with God in all sorts of different ways. And I think it's hugely exciting, and I am wonderfully hopeful. I think we'll know probably in 3 years' time if it's really, really working. But I am wonderfully excited and optimistic. But at the end of the day, I don't quite know how it's going to turn out. I can't say that I am 100% certain that everything is going to work out, because, well, amongst other things, we know in the past year that things can crash in and change. We know that things are not certain through our journeys in life. As I say, I'm very excited, I'm very optimistic, I'm very enthusiastic, as I know that a number of you are, but I can't say for certain. But what I can say for certain from this passage is that we serve and follow the God who was and who is and who is to come, the one who is on the throne, the one who is the covenant-keeping God, the one who gathers all of his people around him together with creation to praise him, the one who in Jesus is coming again, the one who is present with us by the Holy Spirit. All and this and more can be said with 100% certainty through this wonderful, glorious, powerful passage. And as we take on board that sure and certain future, yes, we can be nerved for the fight here and now, to plow on, to press on, to press forward with joy in our hearts, filled with the Holy Spirit, ready to play our part in God's vision for his church, for the ministries that God has given us, for our front lines, for our families, ready to put God at the center. This is a challenge. This is a tall order. But if we truly see this vision, then this is something that we can live out. So what do you see? What do we see? What do I see? Chaos and pain and confusion and difficulty and setbacks, together with the joys that often come alongside these. We see all of this, and we need to see it, and we need to live our lives in the right, in the light of this concrete everyday reality. But we need to have a different perspective also. We need to have the heavenly perspective, the perspective of the throne and of worship and of joy and of the sovereignty of God. And if we have this perspective, then we can press forward together and fulfill the calling that he has given to us as a church and as individual disciples along the way. Let's pause for a moment together, and just want to invite us to keep silence before our God. And then I will lead us in a spoken prayer before I hand back to Nathan, and we have Ed and Sophie leading us once again. Just think of that rainbow, the emerald, at the very beginning of our reading. And God is the covenant-keeping God. There's a sense that God wants us to remind us of that today, that God keeps his promises. Perhaps that means something very specific and special to someone who is here today. Hear that for yourself. God says to you, I keep my promises to you. I am the covenant keeping God. And I think we should hear that together as a church as well. Glorious God, we thank you that here in this passage, we see together with the Apostle John, this wonderful, different perspective on reality. Yeah, we look around us and we see all sorts of things that just don't seem right, that seem to be out of kilter with your purposes, and indeed are. But we see also that you are working your purpose out as year succeeds to year. You are working your purpose out, and the time is drawing near, nearer and nearer draws the time that shall surely be, when the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, we pray. And in the meantime, may we follow you with all our hearts, putting you at the very center of our lives. Strengthen us to know what this means, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we move towards our time of communion, we've got communion next. Nathan said, are you swapping the order? Communion was set to be next. And I think I got a bit carried away and forgot the order of service. Forgive me. We'll move into communion now. And so let's do that together. If you just want a moment or so to organize some bread and wine, that will be great. So I think Cheryl's going to come in here and join me. I'll give that announcement publicly over Zoom.
I'll grab a bit of red wine.
So it's wonderful to be able to share communion together. And one of the things I want to do just at the beginning of this time is to just get some prayer points from Levi and from Sam and Katie. Obviously, this is being recorded, so guys, just be aware of that and don't say anything that you wouldn't want to go out in this way. But perhaps, Levi, first of all, is there anything that you want to share with us for prayer?
Yeah, thank you. So I think probably just two main things, keep it simple. One, I guess maybe people are following the news or wondering about the Olympic and Paralympic Games. I have no insights to give besides the fact that it's really confusing. So they're still planning on going ahead. They're still saying they're going to happen. But especially public opinion in Japan is very much turning against wanting the games to be held, it seems. So I think the thing I'd love prayer for would be just for Christians, especially Christians in Japan, to just have real wisdom and grace to know how to speak to friends and colleagues and everyone about that. There are some people I know who are have like more, I guess, higher up levels, that they have some input they can kind of give into decisions. So pray for wisdom. But just I think for it's an opportunity for Christians to really show grace and talk to people in a really gracious and kind manner. So pray for that. And on the topic of speaking, on Tuesday coming up, so 2 days' time, we're running a sports ministry online seminar thing, and I've been asked to do the translation from Japanese into English for that. So please pray for me and pray for, I guess, especially for strength, because 2 hours of nonstop translating is pretty draining. So so please pray for me for those two things. It'd be great.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. It must be so difficult with the Olympics, with the uncertainty that you're facing. And so it'd be great to pray. Sam and Katie, what about you?
Thank you. Some of you will have heard some news about Harriet. Harriet is a woman who became a Christian about 6 months ago. She fled the town where we live and trying to escape persecution about 2 months ago. And then her son received a phone call about 2 weeks ago from some family members, and he decided that he would go and spend some time with these family members. And they went to a remote place and took him to a remote place, and one of them stabbed him because he told them that he was a Christian. They asked him and he admitted to being a Christian. That was really, really challenging for Harriet and obviously for her son who was stabbed, and for his sister as well. He was taken to hospital and is recovering. Health-wise, he is actually doing better than he was 2 weeks ago, a lot better. Pray for them. They tried to escape persecution where we were living, but unfortunately, persecution has followed them. So they're trying to keep their head down, and so pray for their growing in their faith. Them growing in their faith. All three of them, at the moment together, are growing in their faith, learning more about Jesus, steady in their faith. When they're challenged about their faith, they say that they're Christian. They're Christians. It is a huge potential cost because they have family members who do not want them to be alive. So that's one thing. On a completely different note, we are expecting to have two new team members join us on Tuesday. So we've been praying for this for quite a long time, and they are getting their COVID tests done today, and hopefully get their results tomorrow so that they can fly on Tuesday to join us on Tuesday. So they're hopefully arriving Tuesday evening. Pray for them. We're doing some training with them to start with, and then we're traveling back to where we live. The reason why we have nice internet is that we're currently in N'Djamena in the capital city. So we're just here to welcome them and do some training with them before we head out. So that's going to be an incredibly challenging few weeks ahead for them, and probably quite challenging for us in supporting them and doing training with them, and then and settling down in back home for us, but new home for them. And these are two single Indian ladies. One of them has already 10 years experience in Sudan, so she's already an experienced worker. But the other one is new to mission work. So pray for both of them. New to mission work outside of India. She's got lots of experience working in India already. Pray for them in the next few weeks for us. And then for those of you who were at all connected with the political situation here or were following it at any distance, the political situation has improved significantly over the last 3 or 4 weeks. It was very concerning about 3.5 weeks ago. A number of people evacuated the country. We remained because we were in a very remote location with very few issues. And actually now we're thankful that things are moving in the right direction. Just pray for that to continue, and the new government to be a wise government that brings peace to the country.
Thank you so much. There's a number of things here, and the story that you told in respect of Harriet, her son, and her family just reminds us of the sorts of things that we've been thinking about: the chaos, the wars, and the rumors of wars, and the persecution that Christians face around the world. It would be really good to pray now, I think, within the context of communion, but before we share bread and wine together, and also to remember our other cross-cultural missionaries. Pray for Jane Waits. Mission Housing is moving ahead, and that is really, really promising. So the possibility of her having somewhere to live, she's sharing with Sue Walker here in Leeds at the moment, as many of you know. And I notice Steve and Hazel Randall joining us today. I don't know if you can say anything about our friend. It may be that the answer is no. I know something has come through recently. We can just lift her to the Lord. Steve's just unmuting
himself. Yeah, I don't think I can say a lot.
No.
But we do know that she's working with some fellow believers out there in medical care work, and she's having looking for locals to join that work. So that's some encouraging news that they have some interviews coming up for that. Yes. And we also know that she's had her first COVID jab, and has her second one coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But I think that's all I can say at the moment. No,
absolutely. And I will pray for her. And if two or three others could just lead in prayer for Levi and for Sam and Katie and the situations that they face, that would be great. So, Lord, first of all, we lift our friends to you. And we pray for her as she seeks to bring in locals to share with the work that she is doing. We pray for the COVID jab, which is coming up, the second one. Lord, we just lift her to you. We pause and ask that in your grace and your mercy, in your power and in your love, you would be working mightily. In Jesus' name, amen.
Loving and holy God, we thank you so much for our friends in Chad today. We thank you for all their work and their ministry. We want to encourage them that we stand with them in all their experience at this time. We pray your blessing on the work, and we thank you for the people who are joining the team. We thank you for us just seeing the kids there and for knowing they're happy and healthy. We thank you for your goodness in restoring health to the chap who was sadly stabbed. And we pray for peace in that situation and for confidence to be restored to those who are beginning their walk with you in a very difficult place. We thank you in every way that though there is persecution, still you are faithful and you cannot be thwarted. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just think of Levi and we thank you for the time he's been able to spend with us in this service today, and for the great presentation that he put together for the All Age Talk. We just pray now that you will be with him and his teams as they start thinking about these last minute rush items that could be occurring with the on-off situation of the Olympics and the work that they are going to be doing around the Olympics. Lord, we pray for guidance and wisdom for that team as they wait for final instructions as to what's going to be going on. We just also pray especially for this meeting on Tuesday where Levi will be acting as an interpreter. 2 hours just seemed absolutely mind-bending to me. That's just so just pray, Lord Jesus, that you will give him strength and give him the headspace just to cope with all that's going to be going on during that meeting. Lord, we pray for your continued protection of him. Keep him safe from COVID and other infections that are going around. Lord, keep him strong, and merciful Lord Jesus, keep him close to you. In your name, amen.
Amen. And Lord, we pray for Jane. Thank you for the really good news about her housing. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be in that. And Lord, as she continues to work through Share International and Teach Beyond and in other ways too, Lord, that she would know your blessing and that you would make her fruitful in ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so there's a warm invitation, not so much from me, but from God himself, because this is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. to come and to join, and for all believers to share bread and wine in remembrance of Jesus and in anticipation of his coming. If you would prefer not to, for whatever reason, then do stay with us and do continue to reflect with us. But God himself invites us to come in Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Words of institution from 1 Corinthians 11. The Apostle Paul reminds us of the Lord's Supper that was established by Jesus himself. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so, aware of our own perspective on reality, aware of this heavenly perspective on reality, and aware that our Lord Jesus is coming again, let's take the bread and take the cup and share together. I wonder if just one person would be happy to unmute themselves and lead us in a prayer of thanks for the bread and the wine.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've invited us to come to this table, and we come recognizing that we're not worthy to come. We're not even
Father,
worthy.
Father, we thank you that you gave us these simple symbols, which are so powerful and so accessible.
Thank you.
And so we thank you, Lord, that you have invited us to your table, and we come. And Lord, we know we're not worthy to come. We have no right to come. It's only because of what you have done for us. And we say thank you for that huge sacrifice that enables us to come into your presence with your blessing, so that we can be as one with you, as your children. So we thank you for these simple symbols, this bread and this wine, symbols of your broken body and the blood that flowed from your side as you gave your life for us. And so, Lord, we come humbly to say thank you. In Jesus' name, and for his glory and his sake. Amen.
So Jesus took the bread and he broke it, and we take the bread and we break it too, remembering that he died for us. If you are in a household group or a bubble, then I encourage you to serve one another. But if you're on your screen on your own, then we all share together as we share bread in remembrance of Jesus who died for us. we take the cup and we remember that his blood was shed for us. And so we're going to conclude our time now with two worship songs. Could have said much more about worship from Revelation 4. I've really held that over to 2 weeks' time when we look at Revelation 5. But we can think of worship as an act of resistance. We are worshiping the true and living God, the one who is worthy of worship. Other people might worship other so-called gods, whether it's materialism or consumerism or family or work or career or selfish ambition or whatever it may be. But we, as an act of resistance, in a world where there is much confusion, we worship the one and true and living God. Let's do that now through Ed and Sophie's songs as they lead us.
Thank you for saving me. what can I say?
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much to Nathan. Thank you to Ed and Sophie. I'll make sure that our thanks are passed on. Thank you to Levi. And thank you to Sam and Katie and their family. And thank you to each one of you for taking part today. Your presence makes this extra special. It's wonderful to be able to worship together. I want to encourage you as we go on and forward into the week. I want to encourage you about our services next Sunday across all of our sites. Pentecost Sunday, a wonderful time of celebration. I'll look at the pastoral updates just to be clear about what is happening. Use the booking links to book on for these services. It's going to be wonderful to worship together in person and also via the live stream. It is a convention when we have a Zoom service for people to remain muted. I'm going to break that convention now and encourage everybody to unmute themselves and for us to share in the grace together. This is likely, if you've not experienced this before, things are always slightly out of sync. You get feedback, you get all sorts of noise. There's going to be a bit of but never mind about that. Grace, I invite you to share them with me after three. Okay, so one, two, three, go. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and evermore. Amen. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much. God bless you as you go on into the week. A Zoom time wouldn't be complete without the Zoom waves. I invite you to join in now. God bless you as you go on.
Bye, you want to do Zoom waves?
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. God bless.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.